The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Zion Primitive Baptist Church in Zion, Alabama. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.
I want to welcome you today to the Gospel of Grace podcast. This podcast is an outreach of Zion Primitive Baptist Church near Gordo, Alabama. I'm Chris McCool, and I serve as pastor of Zion Primitive Baptist Church. We are a congregation where families worship together through the simple practice of preaching, praying, and singing. We would love to have you worship with us in person sometime. The church address is 9487 County Road 49, Gordo, Alabama. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. and the first and third Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m.
In the wake of all the troubles we see in this world, we are reminded that this world is not our home. With the Charlie Kirk shooting and other tragedies and persecutions of this life, we find ourselves asking, how can this be fixed? If we're looking for answers under the sun, then the answer is, it can't be fixed. But when we look to Jesus for answers, we realize that the resurrection is the answer to it all. It fixes everything. Join us today for the first half of this sermon by Elder John Morgan Owens about where our true home is.
Oh, my Lord,
you turn with me to Matthew chapter 8, the gospel according to Matthew chapter 8, and we'll look at verse 19. And it says here in Matthew 8 and verse 19, "And a certain scribe came and said unto him," speaking to Jesus, "Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus saith unto him, The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." Now, it's curious to me that the God of glory, who made this world, You know, I can't really fathom that sort of power, that sort of wealth, that you make all of the world, all of the universe. And you would think that somebody like that, if they were to come down and walk the earth with you and come into your hometown, that they would have a nice place to stay, right? You would think that if the president or, you know, the emperor of the world comes and walks down and they come to visit Zion, Alabama, they're probably not going to stay the night in Zion. They'll probably find some, you know, five-star hotel to stay in, right? Or maybe they have their own palace down here somewhere. But yet when Jesus Christ comes to this world and somebody says, I want to follow you, Jesus, wherever you go, Jesus warns him. He says, it's not going to be comfortable, okay? He says, I don't even have a place to stay. The foxes have holes. They said, even the little foxes have a place where they can stay. But I don't have a place to stay. I don't have a place to rest or to call home. Now, I've been pondering on this verse. It's been on my mind and on my heart in light of recent events as we have experienced together the problems in our world and in our country. And we get so comfortable. We get so comfortable thinking about this place as our home. You know, we build our house, we get our flowers just so, we get our the colors in our house, we get the walls painted just like we like it. We get everything just like we want it to be because we want it to feel like home. We pour into our careers, we pour into our families and in friendships and relationships, and you try to build up something. And then all of a sudden, you realize, you open your eyes again and you realize that you're not home. You know, as I was viewing not just the situation with Charlie Kirk, but other things that happened last week. I mean, there were school shootings. There were violent things happening that were evil. And there always have been, really. You know, since the beginning of the fall of man, there have been problems, okay? We just sometimes get lost in our own little world and we think that it's not that way, but it is. And so as I was analyzing those situations, you know, maybe it's my brain as a lawyer. You know, I see a situation where there is some type of harm and I try to analyze, how do we fix it? How do we compensate for this? How do we make it right? And as I viewed those videos of Charlie and his little young family, and I was thinking, how do we make that right? You know, how do you compensate for that? I was pondering about my family. And, you know, his children are the same age as my children. He's a few months younger than me. I think about, how do you make that right? And you try to fix it under the sun. Just like Solomon said in the book of Ecclesiastes, he ponders all these things under the sun and he says it's all vanity. And you think, man, that's a depressing book of the Bible. No, it's just true, okay? He says all these things, all of it's vanity under the sun. He doesn't say that your existence, that your life is vanity. He just says, when you build up this place as home, it's going to be vain. But if you're living for the Lord, you're living for those things that can never be tarnished, that can never be taken away, that's not vanity, y'all. And so I was thinking, how do we fix this? How do we fix this for his wife, for his family? And other situations, how do you deal with these families who lost their children at school from some crazy person coming in and shooting? How do you compensate for that? How do you fix it? And you can't, okay? There is no compensation for that. The only answer is in the resurrection, that glorious day when God comes and He rights all of the wrongs and He fixes it. And so this message today, as we look at Jesus' words and as we look at some other passages, I want us to think again about where your home is. Is your home here in this place? Like you can build a wonderful house. You can have a wonderful hobby and have invested in it, and you've got all of the best tools and the best whatever. You know, one tornado can come through and mess all that up, you know. We're not home here, y'all. Let's look at the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. What we sometimes refer to as the Hall of Faith. Hebrews 11, and for the sake of time, we're just going to jump into verse 5. And he says this, "By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Now look, this is a slightly off topic of the message, but I can't read that verse and not address this. You know, there is a major movement in Christianity. Certainly would seem like it's the majority belief that Jesus died on the cross to save you from your sins, but then the rest is up to the sinner to pray the prayer, to confess their sins, to come to Him, to accept that salvation. Well, look, I think it's certainly a good thing when people come to Christ, okay? But what people don't realize is that doesn't get them saved from their sins when they come to Christ. It is an evidence that they've already been saved. This verse here says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is." You see somebody who prays the sinner's prayer, who comes up to the altar and is baptized or does whatever thing you add on there. That is someone who already believes that God exists, because if not, you're just, you know, you wouldn't come to me to visit with me to ask me something if you didn't believe that I was there, that I existed. You know, my children, they come to me and they ask me for help. Or as this morning, Cal, I was in the bathroom getting ready, and Cal came to me and he told me to close my eyes and to walk and not open them until I walked through the living room. And I said, "Okay, what's going on, man? What'd you do out there?" And he said, "I threw a golf ball into the fish tank." Okay. And so when I come out, he was trying to get it out to save his skin, you know. And he was, you know, he got in trouble for that. But he didn't want to see. But look, when he comes to me for help, comes to me in that situation for confession, okay, he believes that I'm there. He believes that I exist. When a child of God comes to Jesus to accept Him, to accept that gift on the cross, to confess their sins, to do whatever, to be baptized, that is a child of God who is coming to Jesus because they know Jesus exists, okay? And if you know Jesus, it's because He already knows you, okay? It's because He's already worked in you. All right, now let's get the train back on track. Now, verse 7, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine being led by God in that way? You know, we like, obviously, all of us are trying to follow God's leading in our lives. Do I need to do this? Do I need to do that? Or do I need to wait and not do either? It's hard following God. It's hard because you've got to walk by faith. But what we like to see is we like to see God lead us from point A to point B. Okay? We'd like for Him to say, I want you to go to point B. Great. Well, in Abraham's situation, God didn't say, I want you to go to point B. What He says was, I want you to leave point A. Ooh, that's scary, isn't it? You don't know where you're going, but you just know that you're supposed to move. Now, that's walking by faith, okay? Now, we like to think in terms of destinations, of when I get to this, when I get that, then I'll be able to serve the Lord better. But what we forget is that it's not the destination, right? It's the journey. That's where you serve the Lord. It's in the footsteps in between. That's where He wants us to be, serving Him. I don't know where the Lord wants me in 10 years. What I can do is I can follow Him and be assured by His peace that I'm where He wants me right now, right? Now, Abraham left. He followed God. He left his home where he was a wealthy person to go out into the wilderness to live in tents. That takes faith. It says, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. I don't like being in a place that's not my home. I don't like going to a place where I'm uncomfortable. He says he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country. It was as if he had gone to another country. He wasn't kin to anybody there. It was a different place. You know, I've traveled, I've gone to places where I didn't have a whole lot of friends there, I didn't have family there, and all I want to do the whole time is just go back to my people, right? To be with my people, you know. Well, Abraham spent his life traveling out there as a stranger. It says, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He was looking for something even better than home amongst kindred. He was looking for something better than just being in Ur of the Chaldees with his family. He was looking for a better country. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore, innumerable. I can't read that verse without getting a little sense of humor in the fact that Abraham gets dissed in this verse, right? And him as good as dead, right? Again, it shows the deliverance of God. It's not about you or your capabilities. When God's using you, He uses you, okay? He will get the glory. And verse 13 is interesting. It says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed, listen to this, that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Can you imagine Abraham living his whole life out there, moving in between point A and point B, as we would say? And he never got to point B. He lived his whole life as a stranger out there, wealthy man, but lived in tents. But yet in his eye, through the eye of faith, he was able to see a better country out there. Look, I love America, okay? I am a patriot. I believe in America. I believe that of all the countries in the world, of all the attempts at civilization that we've ever had, America is the best, okay? Apart from when God directly was blessing Israel, okay? But now, you know, that doesn't mean that we're going to be perfect. We're far from it, and we won't be. We know that through the Word of God, that in this life, under the sun, we will not experience perfection. We won't experience home. It's not unpatriotic of us to realize that as we yearn for America to be better, as we yearn for this world to be better, what we're really yearning for is a better country. We're yearning for heaven. Look, you were made for heaven, okay? You weren't made. When God created man in His own image and said it is very good, He had designed us to live in heaven. He had designed us to live in a better country. But we broke it. We messed it up. And so from the days of Adam to today, until the Lord comes back, we will have that yearning within us for that better country that we were made for. And it is a joy when you see it afar off. When you begin to, through the preaching, through the singing, through praying with the Lord, you catch little glimpses of heaven. And you see that better country. It gives me hope. When I begin to get discouraged about where we are, about what my children are going to grow up in, or my grandchildren, and I'm so discouraged about everything here, and I've been trying so hard to make it be home for me, and then I realize this has never been my home. I pretend it is, but our home is heaven. And instead of us going from point A to point B of your life being better, what we need to realize is that we're somewhere in between point A and point B, but we're serving the Lord in each and every step along the way. You won't have that satisfaction, that relief, that rest that you've been looking for your whole life. You won't have that until heaven. Sometimes there's a liberty in us realizing that, okay? Because no doubt it is a tool of Satan that he holds over you to think, once this happens, then I'll have peace in my life. Or once this step happens, then I'll be able to be with my family more. I'll be able to serve the Lord better. You know what's happening when you're constantly delaying your service of the Lord? You are robbing God of the only time that He has given you, which is today, right? Satan doesn't have to come and tell you or to convince you to never serve the Lord. All he has to do is just make you believe that you can serve God really good tomorrow, you know. Because then you won't serve Him today, you know. Abraham was a man of faith, and we're still talking about him today because of the Lord's blessings on him, and he never got to point B. He was just serving there in the wilderness. All right, now let's go. That phrase there that was mentioned, that they were persuaded of them, of that better country, that they saw that through faith and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. You know, that's not the only time that those phrases occur together. If you want to turn over to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11, 1 Peter 2 verse 11 says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. Again, Peter's message here is a reminder. You know, it's always the struggle and discipleship of the child of God to war against these lusts of the flesh, to war against the things that you want to do but you know you shouldn't, okay? His reminder out the gate is he addresses you. He doesn't just address you as dearly saints, dearly beloved saints, dear Christians, our brothers and sisters. He says, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims. He says, remember, this is not your home, okay? You're a stranger here. Abraham was a stranger where he lived, where he sojourned, where he traveled through, always on the move, never staying put. He was a stranger. You ever felt like you're alone in a crowd? You ever felt like you go to some place and you feel an absence of the Lord's blessings or the Lord's presence, and you feel like you're a stranger there? You know? You know, I felt like that many times as I was on the campus at the university and walking through and, you know, overhearing conversations of people walking through and then professors getting up there and teaching things. And, you know, I did a religious studies class one time. I was thinking this will be great. You know, we'll talk about some doctrine and stuff, you know. That was the most atheistic person I think I've ever met in my life, right? I mean, you go to this place and you expect to learn things, and what you end up learning is that you don't belong in this place. You know, what am I doing here? You know, what am I, a conservative Christian, doing in this room of people who hate the Bible? Even in a religious studies class that, you know, my conservative Christian values were sort of persona non grata in there. You feel like a stranger. You feel like you just don't belong here. That was one of the things that I experienced this past week, right? As we watched, as we saw the evil happening in our world, and every time you see something bad on the news, you know, it just makes me think, I'm not home here. I'm a stranger here. I don't belong here. You know, Brother Chris has mentioned the Isle of Misfit Toys several times. You know, I can't remember exactly which cartoon that was from. It was one of the Christmas cartoons, right? But we can all sort of resonate with that a little bit. You know, we're misfits. We're, as it said in Scripture, we're peculiar people. We shouldn't belong. And that's exactly why I led with that passage from Jesus. You would think that Jesus would be the most in person, you know, because he created you. You would think that he would be the most well connected, well, because all power and authority comes from him. You would think that he would be outwardly the wealthiest person there because, well, he made the elements that we use to make our coins with. He made the air we breathe. But yet he said, in this place, even the foxes have better homes than I do. Right? Now, if Jesus said that, and he's our master and our leader, then what should we expect? I want us to wake up. I want us to not be so comfortable in our lives and thinking that this place is our home, because it's not. We're strangers here. But look, we're not just strangers, okay? We're pilgrims, okay? Now, it'd be very discouraging if you just talked to us as if we were strangers, if we were in a place that's not our home, end of story. But it always pairs those terms together, strangers and pilgrims. We've mentioned this many times from the pulpit, but a pilgrim is someone who's not home, but who's headed home, right? You know, as you walk through this life, yes, you don't belong here. You feel like you don't belong, that's great. You don't, okay? But you're not just an outcast. You're a pilgrim, okay? You're not just languishing here in a place that's not your home. Child of God, because of the grace of God, because of His blood, you are headed home. You're on your way home.
We're going to pause the message here for now. We want you to join us again tomorrow where we will hear the conclusion to this sermon. In the meantime, if you have any questions or would like to contact us, please go to the website at zionpbc.com where you can subscribe and get email updates every time a new sermon or any announcements are posted. Also, you can contact me directly at jchrismccool@gmail.com. That's the letter J, chrismccool@gmail.com. Again, thank you for joining us today on the Gospel of Grace podcast, and may the Lord bless you is my prayer.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.